حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Iman, it was in relation to Allah and Akhirat, meaning that Iman is related to these two things. It should be Iman Billah, Iman in Allah, or it should be Iman Bil Yawm Al Akhir, Iman in the Day of Judgment. And we saw that when this is mentioned over and over again in the ayat of the Quran, so some doubts were raised and some issues were raised. One of those issues was that those people who did not want to believe in Abuwat or Imamat, they use this to say that, well, if Allah wanted us to believe in that, in prophethood and Imamat, He would have explained it and He would have asked us to do that. And there were others who said that if this is the case, that all Allah is asking in Iman is to believe in Allah and the Akhirat, and hence we see that there are non-Muslims like Christians and Jews who also believe in Allah and the Akhirat. And the ayat of the Quran also say that as long as the Christians and Jews believe in Allah and Akhirat and do good deeds, they will be alright. So in this regard, we see that yesterday I had mentioned to you in detail that Allah has said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحْكِمُوكَ, that surely they do not have Iman until they make you the judge in their affairs. And hence, even after they believe in Allah and Akhirat, Allah is saying they still do not have Iman until they make you the judge in their affairs. And also that after you judge between them and you pass a judgment and you give your view, that they are happy with your view, they are not displeased with it. If they are displeased with it, if they are not happy with it, then it means that they do not have Iman. They do not have faith. So here we see, just to add to this, so we understand this more in depth, as it is a very important fact in Islam to understand if one wants to become a mu'min. What does it mean and what does it entail? that when Allah, He says this. And He makes the Messenger of Allah the judge in our affairs, and He asks us to be happy with His judgment, with whatever judgment He gives. This is something that we must understand. And one of the things that we had said yesterday was the fact that a lot of the Muslims, they take one ayat and they base their whole ideology on that ayat without having to look at all the ayat regarding that issue and then seeing what does Allah say about this issue. We see that we read one ayat and we base what Islam says according to that one ayat that we have read. And this is a mistake. All this does is destroys our faith. It does not help build it. In order for us to make sure that we reach the right results in our research and in our work and in our ideology, we must make sure that we know all the ayat. And based on those ayat, we are able to decide what is right and what is wrong. Those who read just one or two things, they are not able to decide that. For example, you see, salvation is an issue. How can you be saved? What is the means of becoming saved in the Akhirat? I mean, how are you able to relieve yourself and reach heaven? Well, we see the example that I gave was the fact that when we saw at the outset of Islam, when Rasulullah came, he announced to the people, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." Say, "La ilaha illallah," and you will be successful. So now you see, if this was the means of success, we can use this saying of Rasulullah and say, well, he said, say la ilaha illallah, we will be successful. So what's the use of the other obligations? The other obligations and the other responsibilities we must do. What's the use of those things when we see that Rasulullah, he's saying this? But we see that he made this announcement. This was at that time for those people. It was for those people at that time. But now, as the time went on, and as those people grew, and their awareness grew, and their ilm grew, so now when Allah's order came down to pray, so now this La ilaha illallah, that was the only thing that was needed then. But when the order came to pray, so now we see that within that La ilaha illallah was included one more thing, and that was called prayer. You see that? That was also included in La ilaha illallah, meaning if Allah said to pray, then the order that Allah sent was also included in you believing in La ilaha illallah. Meaning if you did not believe in that, if you did not do that, then it meant that you haven't yet accepted La ilaha illallah. And I want you to understand this, because I'm going to come back to this, as this is a very important ideology that we must understand in order to know what is Iman. Please send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So La ilaha illallah entails that whatever commands Allah sent after this, after what Rasulullah has said, whatever He sends, we must obey it. We must obey those commands. And if we don't obey those commands, then we haven't accepted La ilaha illallah yet. So now, when La ilaha illallah, the meaning of it means that we must be obedient. Obedient to whom? Who should we be obedient to? So we see there's one God that is Wahdahu la Sharik, which is Allah, who has no partner. He is one. And that is one God. Now we see that we have another order that comes in contradiction to what Allah says, from our own nafs. So then what happened? Our nafs, our desire, that orders us to do something against what Allah has ordered us to do, becomes our other god. Then the ruler who orders you to do against what Allah has ordered you to do becomes your third god. Your wife who orders you to do something that Allah has ordered you to do, if she orders you to do something against that, that becomes your fourth god. And these gods go on building up. So now we see all of these gods that are building up. Understand this. All of these gods that are building up, why are they there? Why are they there? These gods are there because anything and anyone who gives an order or a command or makes a law against what Allah has made is another god. Understand this. Anyone and anything that makes a law, anything that makes an order and gives you an order other than what Allah has given and contradicts Allah's law is another god. If you accept it, then you have accepted that as a god. So now, La ilaha entails that first of all, you must reject all those other gods. You must reject all those other gods and say, no, I cannot listen to you if you say something against this god. And who is this god? Wahdahu la sharik. That's his attribute. Wahdahu la sharik. He is the only one without any partner. The others have partner. Meaning you have one ruler, you can have another ruler. You can have dual citizenship. You have one wife, you can have another wife. All of these, not at once, maybe one after another. Whatever the case is, you see, everyone has a sharik. Except this one God. So this is the reason. This is one God. Those are other gods. Now it depends. What God are we going to take as our God? When he said, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ, what it meant was that everything that came after that, whatever command that came after that, you must accept it also. If this is not the case, then there is nothing wrong with what shaitan has done. Understand what I'm saying? If this is not the case, there is nothing wrong with what Iblis has done. Because what did he do wrong? He did not make another god. He did not make, for example, 3-4 other gods and said, these are my gods. He didn't say that, no. I used to worship you, but now I have another god who's more stronger than you. He didn't say that. What did he do? He accepted God. He accepted God. That's what he said. And when he swore also, right? Yeah, you see the words he used. بِعِزَّتِكَ. I swear by your izzat, he told Allah. I swear by your honor. He accepted him. He accepted him as the maker. He said, you made me from fire. So he accepted the fact that Allah made him. So iman in Allah was not his problem. He accepted Allah. But what he didn't accept is what Allah has said. So he said, I will accept him. But what Allah wants me to do, I will not accept. So this is the same iman as those people who said, La ilaha illallah is right. We accept Allah. But what came later, we don't need to accept. This shows this is the same iman that Iblis had. Shaitan had the same iman. He said, I accept God as a person, as an individual, I accept him, but I don't accept the commands that he gives me. You see that, my brothers and sisters? Understand this. This is the reason why we see that Iblis has shown us that no, what is important in La ilaha illallah is to accept Allah, not only him, but everything that he gives to us. Every order that he gives to us, this is also what we must accept. Until now, if you have understood, I'll go on from here if you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We need to understand these issues so we understand where we lie. You see, the first part of religion is to accept God's being. When we enter religion, we do what? We accept Allah's being. We say, La ilaha illallah, we become Muslim. And everyone says, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. MashaAllah, he became a Muslim. See, La ilaha illallah, we said, and we became a Muslim. What was that? We accepted Allah as a God. We accepted Allah's being. We accepted Him as the Creator. That is the beginning of religion. When we enter Islam, we accept Allah's being. And the rest of the life, we spend in knowing what He says. Our whole life goes in what? In trying to learn what He wants from us. You see this? First is Allah's belief. We believe in Him. The rest of our life, that's what we are doing, trying to learn what Allah says. Why are you sitting here? Because you want to accept Allah. You have already accepted Allah. That's why you are here. Now what you are doing here, every day, you are trying to see what He wants from you. You are trying to learn what He wants from you. Why? Because as a mu'min, if we want to become a mu'min, then just accepting Allah is not enough. It is also necessary to believe and do everything that Allah has asked you to do in order for you to be a mu'min. This is the reason. This is the reason why we see when at the time Imam Ali Radha alayhi salam went to Nishapur.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He had to stop again in Nishapur. He stopped once, they asked him to stop, he stopped. They asked him to say a hadith, he said, alright. Everyone was there. And Imam Ali Radha, he said, that Allah has said, with a chain all the way back to Allah, he said, Allah has said, that La ilaha illallah is my fort. La ilaha illallah is my fort. Whoever enters my fort is saved. Whoever does not enter it, is destroyed. So everyone was like, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. And then he started to go forward. He started to go forward. But then he stopped again. Maybe he understood that the same mistake that the Muslims had made with Rasulullah when they heard La ilaha illallah. And they said, well, just accept Allah. And do whatever you need to do. Because that's all you need to be successful. قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say La ilaha illallah, you'll be successful. So just say La ilaha illallah, you'll be successful. Meaning La ilaha illallah, beer. La ilaha illallah, gambling. La ilaha illallah, hard rock casino. So what happened? Why? You can do that with La ilaha illallah. Why? The reason is because the idea behind it was just accept Allah and you will be saved. Accept Allah and you will be saved. So this is the reason why Imam Ali Radha stopped there. He stopped there after he said that La ilaha illallah is my fort. Whoever enters it is saved. And whoever does not is destroyed. So now he stopped again. And then everyone said, why did he stop again? He said, but بِشَرْتِهَا وَشُرُوتِهَا. But with certain conditions. With certain conditions. Right? With certain conditions. Not just like that, but with certain conditions. وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوتِهَا. And I am one of those conditions.
نَارِ حَيْدْرِ
نَارِ
صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِي مُحَمَّدْ
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِي مُحَمَّدْ.
This is the reason, my brothers, we see, he made sure that we understood that La ilaha illallah is the beginning of religion. But in order for you to become a mu'min, it means you must accept everything that Allah has told you to do. You must do whatever Allah has asked you to do. You must look at the wish of Allah and try to fulfill it. This is what Iman entails. If you want to be a mu'min, then accept whatever Allah has asked you to do. Why? Because everything we accept, everything we have accepted, it is because of Tawheed. We accepted these obligations because of Tawheed. We accepted Hajj because of Tawheed. We accepted Jihad because of Tawheed. Everything we accepted, our Usul-e-Deen, we accepted because of Tawheed, because of La ilaha illallah. It all goes back to that. If La ilaha illallah is not there, then these things do not make any sense. And if these things are not there, then La ilaha illallah is not accepted. And this is the difference between us and others. Whatever we believe them because of Tawheed. If we believe in Rasulullah, we believe in him because of Tawheed. And if Allah says about the Anbiya, he says, فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ بَعْضٍ About the Fazl. That, for example, we have made some higher than the others. Then we have accepted them the way Allah wanted us to accept them. We accepted every Nabi according to what Allah and how Allah wanted us to accept them. This is the difference between us and others. We also accept Jesus. Christians also accept Jesus. But they accepted Jesus the way they like to. We accepted Jesus the way Allah wanted us to. This is the reason. Because their aqeedah contradicts Tawheed, it became kufr. Because our aqeedah is in accordance with Tawheed, it became Iman. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see that, my brothers? This is Iman. Why? If everything is accordance to Tawheed, then it is Iman. If it's not in accordance to Tawheed, then it will be kufr. So now if you say it's kufr, why? Because it is not according to how Allah wanted it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now you see this. So Allah has said, make Rasulullah a judge between yourself. Make him a judge. And when he judges in your affairs, then you accept it. This is for this dunya, this life that we are living. Now let me see you what he says about Rasulullah when it comes to your akhirat. Allah says again in Surah An-Nisa, he says again, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ أَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ When these people have done wrong against themselves, when they have sinned, when they have disobeyed Allah, when they did zulm on themselves, he says, جَاءُوكَ They should have come to you. You see that? They should have come to you. فَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ
Yes.
That they should have pleaded Allah's forgiveness if they had come to you and if they had pleaded Allah's forgiveness. And if Rasul has pleaded forgiveness for them, then you would have seen how merciful Allah was.
Yes, yes. Forgiveness is true prophet.
Now you see this. Then you will see how this Rasul, how Allah is merciful towards them. You see this. What is Allah say? He said they did zulm on themselves. Meaning they sinned. They did masiyah. They did guna. They did wrong. They disobeyed Allah. But if they come to you, and if they make istighfar to Allah, and you make istighfar for them, then you will see that Allah will forgive them. So now we see in akhirat, if they want their sins to be forgiven, if they want their wrongdoings to be looked over and washed away, then the only way that will happen is if they come to you and you make istighfar for them. You see that? You make istighfar for them. Now Allah is making it clear that in terms of dunya, iman is nothing without Rasul. In terms of akhirah, your iman is worth nothing without Rasul. In other words, we see that in this dunya, if you want to have iman and say la ilaha illallah, it means you must have Rasul in it. And you must believe in Rasulullah in order for that to be useful. And if you do not have it, then not only is your la ilaha illallah useful, your Muhammad and Rasulullah is not useful if you do not have iman in this Rasul. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Iman is incomplete in this dunya and the akhirah if we see that Risalat and Nubuwwat is not included in it. This is something that we must understand. Now when we see that this is the case, this is what Allah has said in the Quran. Now let me go on from here and say that Allah has said to the Muslims that make the Prophet a judge in those things that you differ in. Meaning whenever there's a difference of opinion amongst you, whenever there's ikhtilaf amongst you, so you make him a judge. So now obviously the ummah who are smart themselves, they also made a plan and they said, well, Allah asked us to make him a judge in those things that we differ in those things that we have ikhtilaf in, difference of opinion in. So what's the best thing to do? Best thing is to not have difference of opinion until he's alive. That's the best thing. I mean, until he's alive, don't argue. Until he's alive, do not show your difference of opinion. Until he's alive, you just maintain yourself. After he dies, we'll show ourselves. Because after he dies, and if the difference of opinion comes, so then what happens? He's not there to judge. So we can tell Allah that Allah, he wasn't there. You asked us to judge, but he wasn't there. You see that? Now what happens? This is obviously, you see, a reason why, you see, no differences of opinion came out. They knew better. They say, you know, we can't lose our temper no matter what happens. If Rasulullah goes there and announces that this is the Khalifa, this is successor, go and say,
I agree.
And try to congratulate him. Make sure everyone sees that you are not having a difference of opinion. You see, why? Because you know that Allah has said if you have a difference of opinion, then you go there. So they said, we never had a difference of opinion until he was alive. After he died, we had a difference of opinion and he wasn't there to judge. So obviously what happens? Now this issue came. So Allah on the other hand, you know, Allah is saying, you think you're smart, but you don't know who made you. You don't know who made you. I'm your maker, so I am also smarter than you. So that's the reason why we see Allah also made arrangements. He knew that this was in their minds, and they're trying to stall until Rasulullah dies. So now they were making arrangements. So that's why he told his prophet that, Ya Rasul, do not come to me unless you ask for a paper and pen. Unless you ask for a paper and pen. So that's the reason why we see when he asked for a paper and pen, what did he ask about? What did he say? He said, I want a paper and pen. So I would write down something for you that after me there would never be any differences amongst you. Understand that. There will not be any differences amongst you. So now we see, right when he asked for that, the argument started. Argument started. Now, obviously, I'm not the one to judge if that was an argument or a chat between two lovers. I don't know if that is a, what was the case. I'm not there to judge. I am who? Obviously, they are elders. They're elders, and we must not judge like that, obviously, about that. So we need to see what Rasulullah said. Whether this was a chat between lovers and those who love one another, or was it an argument or a fight? And this is the reason when we go and read this hadith, it has its own bab. In the hadith books, not ours, theirs. It has its own bab. What is the title of that bab? That section in the hadith book. Rasulullah himself had said that this bab, that Rasulullah himself has given a title and said that you should not fight. You should not fight when a Nabi is in front of you.
Yes, they fight.
Meaning this is called Niza, Munaza, meaning this was a dispute. This was a dispute, this was an argument. So this title was not given by us, it was given by Rasulullah. So when it's given by Rasulullah, himself has said this is a dispute. And if he is saying this is a dispute, then it means that there are those people who's disputing. And the worst thing is that Allah has said that you go to Rasulullah when you have a dispute amongst yourself. But what about those people who are disputing with Rasulullah himself?
Ya Allah. Koi shaitan.
I have nothing else to say. Salawat ala
Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see, my brothers, you know, at the time he said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." And we said, you know, to the ulama, we said, listen, here Rasulullah said, say la ilaha illallah, that's enough. What's the use of prayers? So all the ulama of our Muslim brothers, they came forward with an answer, a very smart answer. And it's a good answer too. They said, listen, if you had died after listening to it, then it is true. If you believed in La ilaha illallah, you will be successful and go to heaven. If you had died then. But if you have lived until the order came down for prayer, then you must accept it. If you don't accept it, it means you haven't accepted La ilaha illallah. And if you lived until the time came, when the order came down for fasting, so you must also fast. Otherwise, if you don't, you haven't accepted La ilaha illallah. And if it goes on, and you see the hukum came down for jihad, and you lived until then you must also go for jihad. So as long as you are living, whatever law has come down, whatever knowledge has reached you, you must obey that knowledge. Well, we are also saying the same thing to you. If you had died before Ghadir,
yes.
If you had died before Ghadir, then you could have gone to Allah without Ali and Waliullah.
Yes.
But after Ghadir, when you heard Ali and Waliullah from Rasulullah, so how is it that you can say, the same way you are saying, you must pray, you must fast, you must do these things, if you heard it, if you lived until it, if that knowledge came to you, then you must accept it. That's the same thing we are saying. If you have lived until Ghadir and after Ghadir, it means you must accept whatever Rasulullah has told you to do.
Yes.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Ya Ali.
And this is what happened. This is why we see, until the knowledge comes to you, you do it. Now we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He has said regarding Ali, and this is in the books of our Muslim brothers, this hadith, and they read this book in the, you can say, the honor of Imam Ali, and they have this in their books. And sometimes you see, you look at things and you wonder, why is it that you see that you have something that is so obvious and still it does not register? But when we read this, it is a whole different thing. Here we see Imam. This is a hadith by Rasulullah. He has said about Imam Ali, he says, لَوَجْتَمَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ عَلِي إِبْنِ أَبِي طَالِبِ لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نَارَ. If the people had gathered around the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allah would not have created hellfire. You see that? If people had gathered and had come together on the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allah would not have created hellfire. So now we see, this is what Rasulullah is saying. And if you come together on the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allah would not have created hellfire. So obviously, just one thing I want to add here, so that you also understand, and this issue could also be answered, and that is, that if this is the case, there are many people who love Imam Ali, but we see that they also do sins. They also do wrong. What about those people? What about those people, those who do ma'asiyat and sins, even though they love Imam Ali? You see that? They love Imam Ali, but they do sins. And Allah says, Iman is not enough. You have to have amal also. You have to have amal also, good deeds also. So here, this is the reason why Rasulullah answered back. He answered back and said that the love of Ali is such that the love of Ali eats away sins like fire eats away wood. That when you have the love of Ali, that love is such that it eats away sins just like fire eats away wood. That when it eats away, there's nothing remaining of the word. Just like that, the love of Ali eats away sins, that there's nothing remaining of those sins. But when you have the love of Ali in your heart, and this is something that we must understand, that Iman is on one side, Amal is on the other side. Iman without Amal is not Iman. And amal without iman is no amal. This is something, inshallah, I will explain more about this, inshallah, tomorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. To give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. To hasten the reappearance of our imam. To make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhirat da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.